Good evening, folks. Well, the power is back on here in North California, but for 50,000 of us, for 2 to 3 days last week, that wasn't the case. And I want to talk a little bit about what that looked like here on the ground, how what we experienced was certainly different than the narrative that was being presented. Talk a little bit about lessons learned and how people reacted, and then get into a bit of high-octane speculation as far as what was actually going on here. And lest I be accused of burying the headline, I'll just say up front that I have every reason to believe that this was a cover operation. A, that there will be more wildfires in the near future, and that this was a cover for some of that, to look as if they were doing everything they could. And secondly, that PG&E just conducted a massive surveillance operation using LIDAR technology across at least 9 counties of California. This is really an incredible thing to see, and the amount of information that they can get using that data is pretty remarkable. So having put all that out there, let's take a little bit of a look at that. Now, I also want to actually mention first that this just came out last month, that PG&E had been doing some off-schedule inspections of the Caribou Palermo line, which was the one that was reportedly responsible for starting the campfire last year. So this was out of season. In fact, they even neglected to mention this in their 2018 federal court filing, where they did talk about some of the other inspections they were doing. They left out that they had gone out there to manually inspect, they call it climbing inspections. What they said was this line, this high voltage transmission line that was having problems, and then indeed it sparked wildfires. So for one thing, they're doing some off-schedule inspections now, and it's a very wide area that's covered. And in fact, here's sort of where all the counties that have been affected by what's going on now. I'm going to explain this in a bit more detail here in a second. But I just want to call out that these off-duty, highly visible public inspections, taking people's power offline, all of this is, you know, if nothing else, done to create an appearance of a company that is trying to do everything they can, which if there is a event looming, then this is how you create, you know, cover for that. You schedule drills and do this. PG&E gave about 24 hours notice before they actually implemented the shutdown, meaning cut the grid power, to 50,000 people on Wednesday. This was a surprise, frankly, to a lot of people, and it was alarming to me how few people are ready to deal with the loss of service in any capacity, let alone an actual grid failure. But we'll get back to that. The whole operation was conducted in the name of minimizing fire risk. So they were saying that there were some gusty winds, some high temperatures, low humidity that made the transmission lines, which are an aging piece of their infrastructure, risky. It was they that started the campfire last year around Paradise. And so as a bit of background, PG&E owns and operates about 18,000 plus miles of those high voltage transmission lines. Those are the powerful ones, not to be confused with the 100,000 plus miles of distribution lines that actually take power, you know, to your box. They initially announced a large area that would be shut down, and then they scaled it back, but then actually they grew it even larger when they actually cut the power. So there was a bit of confusion around the messaging there. I'm not sure what the point was there. The actual shutdown did extend as far west, as you can see here, as Napa and Napa County, and then into Santa Rosa. This is Sonoma. So it was a wide area, even into the North Bay. And that was sort of where the media coverage focused. It's very nice to talk about how the Napa County wineries, cellars turned off, and they might have lost some of their wine. It would be disastrous for their 2019 was a terrible year. But the reality was that this did affect people in very real ways, and it's just not a very accurate representation in the media. So this is also, I want to make clear, very well publicized. It was very well branded. We've seen the marketing there for it. They had signs up all over the San Francisco BART, which is it's like the metro. It's their subway in San Francisco. And they had everything tweeting out to all of the San Francisco people. So this was a highly visible operation, even though San Francisco didn't lose power. Well-branded, well-visible. And that's why, partly, I start to wonder, why was this so well created and advanced? There were drills done in April in advance of any risk. And it just reminds me of when Jerry Brown announced, following last year's wildfires, that there would be more of them and that they'd be even worse, and that ultimately he would make believers out of even the worst climate change skeptics. "The floggings will continue until you submit to my agenda," was his very unambiguous messaging when people were still in shock over the campfire. I'm sure his words would be more carefully selected now, but he really didn't mince them at all at that point. The worst skeptics would be believers. And I've talked about this, did a whole video about how the Diablo winds burning down paradise was a very coded message. Check that out. It's a different topic. I just wanted to bring it up because we're seeing that now. We're seeing those floggings. And look at how people actually talk about this. In the Sacramento Bee, it was described, "I almost feel like we're being punished here." And here's someone tweeting, "No wind here, but still no power. PG&E still punishing us for their shoddy power lines." And some of the media coverages mention this as well. Here's some gentleman who's losing everything in his store. But hey, I remember those wildfires, so I understand. I understand, PG&E. Please do what you have to do. Cut off my power. Ruin my business. Again, in this article we saw down here, well, we're just trying to keep our inventory from melting at this point, but I understand why PG&E has to do it. I understand. So you see here, we've entered like third world power grid conditions, but people know that climate change, it's their fault. They have already submitted to these kinds of conditions, and they're going to be herded into the smart cities by these inconveniences. A lot of people were complaining. We already saw this one person say, hey, there's no wind here. This doesn't really even make sense. PG&E apparently got a lot of these questions saying, dude, it's not dry and it's not windy either. Why did you cut my power off? What's the deal here? They had so many people complaining that they were forced to put out this piece of messaging. The weather at your house does not matter. This is just like, it doesn't matter that about those frosts. It's global warming. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing. It's global warming. The weather at your house does not matter. It only matters if it's windy around our transmission lines, and this is why we've cut off your power. So they clarified that. And that narrative sort of broke down because immediately the whole situation was conflated with this need to have helicopters inspect by air using LIDAR technology, which you can see here, every mile of distribution lines, not just the high voltage lines. So somewhere everything changed here. And suddenly, we were told, we have to keep your power off until helicopters with LIDAR hover over your property at about 200 feet for 10 to 15 minutes. And boy, folks, did they. These guys were all over. Everyone I know in these counties has said they were visited by helicopters, and they made it very obvious that they were there to watch you. They came down right at 200, 250 feet, sat there for 10 minutes while they looked at your property. They spent a lot of time looking at gardens, too, by my own judgment and others that I've talked to. These are my own observations. I can't share reports about that. So I can't vouch for what they were doing. They were equipped with these, you can see here, the sharper shape LIDAR unit, which is made by a company, go figure, called Sharper Shape. It is made to do inspection of utility assets using LIDAR technology that uploads the data into the cloud for later analysis. Which means basically that no matter what the purpose was, the motivating cause here, even if these people believed they were doing utility inspections, they just collected data from an immense amount of California that can be used for any number of purposes. LIDAR can see into buildings. It's used for surveys. It can determine plant densities and plant types. They definitely know where any grower is in North California now. This is an incredibly rich data set with topography and the water features, everything. It's very interesting. Sharper Shape also operates the drone software as a service. By the way, we're getting into a territory now where we should step back and remind ourselves that PG&E does have deep links with the Defense Department, they were linked with the Rothschilds before. That person on their board from Rothschild has since stepped down due to the restructuring this year after the bankruptcy caused by the liabilities from the Paradise Fire. So he was one of the directors to step down after that. But let's just quickly remind ourselves let's not kid ourselves. This is more than a utility company. On the PG&E board of directors, we see senior advisors to the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI. He was also special counsel for Obama from 2008 to 2009. Mr. Wolf here, who was with the State Department for 34 years. All right, so these are clearly deep linked people. They're also the revolving door, obviously, of regulators, both at the federal and the state level. So yes, I only bring all that up to remind ourselves that PG&E is not just a utility company. So when we see them doing these inspections, this is from April. Like I said, they were testing the idea, and they used their LIDAR inspections in Mendocino, Humboldt, Lake, and Trinity counties. That went on to Sonoma, Napa, Nevada, Placer, Plumas, and Yuba now. Although again, now it was done with the grid down, where they hold a gun to your head and say, we have to scan every inch of your property now. Before, for some reason, with these other countries, it was not at all. The power was still up. It was not conflated like it is now. So I'm not sure what changed to merit them keeping the power off while they insisted they had to inspect everything. These are the areas now that have been inspected. I just want to give a little map. Not all of these, as I said, were shut down. Only the ones down south, where there are more people, is where the grid was turned off while they were doing the inspections. Again, not sure what that means. So it's reported that these LIDAR devices are able to measure how close the power lines are to the wires, but they also go on to say, we're getting information on any kind of patterns, any risks. We want to find out if there's any vegetation. And as I said, once you've got the LIDAR ranging data, you can do any kind of analysis with it. In fact, they specified it's being uploaded to the cloud for later analysis, which brings me to my last bit of thought here. And that is sort of how this went down tactically on the ground. As I mentioned already, a lot of people are just not prepared. It's scary, folks. It's alarming. And if you take nothing else from this video, please take the idea that you should absolutely be ready for the grid to go down for any amount of time, and that you should be helping others around you get there as well. Because, you know, the way it played out was that at first it was just, this is kind of crazy. It's an inconvenience, or it's weird, or it's funny, or whatever, and it's time to grill outside. And then the next day comes around and your animals don't have water. You can't pull up any water. You don't have water to shower with either, because everyone's working on well water. But you can go without showering, but you've got to feed your animals. So that became a concerted effort, was finding who had water and then figuring out how to get it to the animals. And this is within 24 hours. This is within a day of the grid, and everyone still knows that the grid's coming back in just a few, you know, any minute now, right? So the psychology is very different in that moment. But people lost their food that was in their fridges and their freezers, and then by the second day, by 48 hours in, they started saying, we're going to go stay with family in Sacramento or somewhere, you know, they got out. And that's how quickly it happened, that people just got up and left when the grid went down. So I found that very informative. It's a very true how wholly dependent we are on the power grid, and how incredibly dependent all of the civilization that we know and take for granted is on that thing. All right, folks, that's all I wanted to share for now. I hope this was informative, if not interesting, and that you are taking steps every day to move yourself closer to self-sufficiency. Because we all know that grid is fragile as they come, and the sun is transitioning in ways that make it even more likely for it to burp out something offensive to our infrastructure that would end this way of life for a very long time, overnight. Thanks for watching. Take care.